Sam believes growth can be exponential and consistent. Taking the time to get to know your target buyers is more than getting to know just the facts. Understanding their emotional ties to the decisions they make will help you write compelling copy that gets your conversions up and allows you to scale. Sam's agency, Response Copy, specializes in conversion copywriting that helps his clients set massive growth that's consistent and scalable. You can also check out his growth marketing tips at his website, samueljwoods.com. In this podcast, Sam reveals insights into understanding the language of your ideal buyer, the importance of testing and validating your message, and tips for timing your email touchpoints with prospects. Okay, everyone. So today I have Sam Woods. Sam runs an agency and a service that really helps people grow their revenue by at least double, most triple for the type of work that he does. And I met Sam in a mastermind, actually. As part of my continuing education, I'm always looking to learn how to write better emails. And I joined a mastermind group, met him early on, and saw in him that, oh boy, this is a great resource, a great person to get to know, because he understands what we struggle with at our part of the pipeline, from the cold cue through the working status, qualification, and then, of course, nurture, is how do we motivate people and engage them through this process and get them excited about having a conversation with us, or in terms of the cold cue, how to start those conversations with people we don't know. So I've asked Sam to join us today, and I'd like to always start by asking, you know, Sam, how did you get involved in this business, and what got you interested in focusing on this particular type of writing?
Sure. Well, Mary Lou, it's nice to talk to you. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me on. And my story is fairly simple and almost typical, I'd say. I actually started off learning and doing graphic design. So my background is in graphic design. And that turned into creating websites for people. This is probably, wow, 6-7 years ago. Mm-hmm. So a while ago for me. starting with websites, starting with just creating layouts and understanding human psychology from the standpoint of visuals and graphics and color. And the clients that I work with then, they love their sites. The sites did well. But they came back to me and asked me, Sam, how do we actually get leads? How do we get clients? How do we turn our website into a lead generation machine or even a sales machine? And so that put me on a path on marketing. And I started learning about direct response marketing. Some of the old school guys like Gary Halbert and Dan Kennedy and a few other people who did a lot of work then. I fell in love with what Jay Abraham said. So I'm a huge Jay Abraham fan in terms of just general philosophy and marketing philosophy. So I got to turn into marketing, and that led me on that path of, okay, people come to a site or people see content somewhere. How do you get them to respond? How do you connect, engage with them, and get them to respond to what you'd like them to do? And so I started doing that and helping clients with setting up funnels of different types, anything from lead generation, inbound, to even getting into outbound, you know, sending out postcards. I've done that a lot. That got into cold email or direct outreach, outbound email generation too. So from the graphic stuff to marketing, which has then been the core part of what I do for the past 4 years now, which is helping companies use growth marketing, is what I call it, which is just a combination of direct response and applied psychology, to use that to generate quality leads and do that faster and quicker than they have before. So that's my start. That's how I really got into it. My clients came with needs, and I responded to those needs, and here we are today.
Right. Well, for those of you who don't know the term direct response,
yeah,
it's the ability to reach out directly to people that you have targeted. And that's what our framework does. We are putting in our pipeline those companies with whom we think are going to close the fastest with the highest revenue potential.
Yeah.
We may not know them, but we are reaching out to them and targeting them directly, as opposed to casting a wide net out there and getting the minnows and the whales. We
Yes.
tend to want to really focus on those whales. And so Yep. Sam has just cornered that market in figuring out how to do that. So tell me, Sam,
Yeah.
what are some of the conceptions that your clients come in to working with you? What are the things that they come in with that you see most often? That, you know, if you could wave a magic wand and say, I wish they knew this, what would that be?
Yeah, I mean, it's a myriad of things, but it comes down to a few key mindsets that people have when they think about doing marketing and sales and getting those leads and conversions. And for the most part, to a varying degree and different variations, people assume that in any marketing and sales messaging that it's about them. And not, let's say, the target audience or target ideal client profile or person. You know, mm-hmm. we use terminology that buyer persona, ideal profile, and so on. But people have the assumption that, which is often true, that they have a great company, they have a great product or service, and that they can offer a lot of value to people. And those things are true, and they should be true. But when you are looking to start a conversation or get in touch with someone and engage them, you have to drop that attitude and that mindset. It can't be about you yet. It has to be about the person that you're trying to reach. And this, you can trace this mindset back to a core fundamental belief that I have, which I think is going to be helpful. And that is, whoever understands their buyer the best will always win. And you have to understand your buyer better than they understand themselves and better than your competitor understands them. Mm-hmm. So it does come down to understanding people, understanding the context in which they receive your message, where they're coming from, who they are, what they're looking for. So I think that's the core issue at hand here, is understanding other people first before you make an attempt at connecting with them. So, you know, coming from the point of it's all about my company and my product and my service, it will become that at some point, but first of all, it is about other people first. The second thing is that you can't assume, unless you know in highly detailed outline who these people are, you can't assume too much about them when they first see your message. Mm-hmm. So context in which they see your message, that matters a lot. A lot of marketing and a lot of content marketing is usually outlining how your product works or your opinion on things and your take on different features or products or other services and your take on the market in general. And that's cool, but you have to angle your messaging towards what these people are asking themselves. So all your buyers, they come with a set of beliefs, they come with a set of assumptions, they have suspicions, they have fears, they have needs. It's all these psychographics and all these psychological angles that you have to account for. And even as simple as answering questions in, let's say, your content marketing, you put out articles or maybe white papers or webinars, if you create that marketing messaging from the standpoint of what are these people asking themselves, and what are some of the bleeding neck issues? What's keeping them up at night? And if you take that approach in terms of answering those questions, your messaging will instantly become more relatable and more impactful. So I think that's the core of the assumption that people make. And that takes, you know, it looks different whoever you talk to. But I think at the very basic level, it's the assumption that your product and your service and your company is what matters, mm-hmm. when it actually is about your buyer. And whatever your messaging is, that as long as you talk about how great your features are or what benefits are, even benefits are decent, but you have to go one step further in that your conversations and your messaging in whatever format it is, it can't be about how awesome your things are. It has to be about connecting with your target buyer and your target market and answering their questions, speaking to them from their context and from where they're at in any buying process or life cycle stage.
So basically what you're saying, because, you know, we all get those emails where we read about the features of a product or service. Yes. And then it's almost as if we are given the task of trying to figure out how what we want fits into what that feature is.
Yeah.
And you're saying that this is a common error, that if we can flip that, mm-hmm. and I heard you say, you know, features translate to benefits, but benefits mm-hmm. go even to deeper desires, wants, fears, skepticisms, all of those other things.
Yep.
That's a and really needs. Great point. And needs.
Yeah.
And because we are in our world at the cold conversation stage, we've got to really focus on that. How difficult is that for you to teach clients to do that, or do you do that for them to get them thinking? How do you
so both? Yeah.
How do you get them to that deeper level?
Yeah. So it's a combination of things. It's partly teaching and showing, and also helping them through a process where you can discover these things, discover the language of your ideal profile or ideal buyer persona. Mm-hmm. And it's important that in anytime you're setting up a new campaign or you're looking to do, whether it's outreach, outbound or inbound, you have to root and anchor your messaging in the language of your ideal market and your ideal buyers, and doing the research necessary to extract that language. And that can be done through looking at what people are already saying in other types of content that exists. You can learn a lot from just picking up what people are saying in book reviews or what they're saying in testimonials on other sites. You know, a great thing to do is look at your competitors' websites and look at the testimonials that they get. Mm-hmm. That will show you, and that'll teach you a lot of what people are expecting, what they're looking for. You can also obviously get the language and the thought process and the paradigm from just speaking with your existing customers. So that's a great place to start. And when I work with clients, we usually do a combination of just that. We spend some time doing research and discovery, looking for the messaging, the words, trying to uncover the paradigm, trying to uncover how they view the world and how they view their situation mm-hmm. in relation to your type of a product or service. And then it's also, I do spend a lot of time also just instilling this mindset and talking through with my clients and showing them, not just telling them this is how it is, but actually showing the process and showing them how to uncover the messaging, and we walk through that whole process with clients, so we don't just leave them on their own and they right. go off and do something. We walk them through it. And for a lot of people, even if you've been in business for 10, 20, 30 years, you start assuming that you know everything there is to know about your customers, but your customers change. Their needs change. Their situations change. Whatever worked a year ago is probably not going to work right now. So it's important to always gather that feedback, gather that data, look at how people are behaving, and even sometimes disregarding what they say they will do mm-hmm. and just look at their behavior. And so there's a lot of this. A lot of what you need can be found in what you already have. And so we walk through a process of discovering and uncovering that and just showing and really opening people's eyes to, look, your existing customers have a lot of valuable feedback they can give you. And even speaking to leads or marketing qualified leads or sales qualified leads, if you ask them the right type of questions, you will get answers that you can then use in your other messaging as well.
That's a great point. And I tell this story a lot about a client of mine who were accountants. They yeah. saw themselves as accountants. They described themselves as accountants. But when we did it doesn't sound like as in-depth an exercise as what you put your clients sure. through, but we did a very brief interview with some of their clients, maybe 10 to 15 of them we interviewed. And we asked the question, you know, when you think of ABC Company, how would you describe yeah. their people? And not one yeah. said, they're my accountant.
Yeah.
Not one. They yeah. said, they're my business coach. They are my kind of right hand man, my right arm. They keep me out of trouble. They are my, you know, growth experts. Never did we hear the word accountant.
That's fascinating. Yeah. Yeah. And often, whatever you think is the reason why people are buying from you is usually not the primary reason.
Right.
That's one thing that I discover all the time. We think we know why people buy from us and why they buy a product or service, but it's usually something else.
Mm-hmm.
And that something else is usually on a deeper level than satisfying an immediate need.
Right.
So on the surface, it is about satisfying an immediate need or getting a specific outcome. But if you go a few layers deeper, you will always uncover a stronger emotional reason why people do what they do and why they behave the way they behave.
So this research portion of the work that you do, what's a typical engagement? I mean, how long does that take for you to pull the right information out with your client and work side by side with them? Timeline.
Yeah, sure. It depends a bit on the scope of what we're trying to do and, you know, what part of the funnel we're working on and
okay.
if we're looking at the whole funnel or just certain parts of it. But anything from a couple of weeks to a couple of months.
Okay.
Depending on how quickly we can get access to people, depending on, sometimes we can uncover some real gold within a few weeks. And at that point, it's, you know, once you have gold, then you actually take that and use it. Yeah. And sometimes we have to spend a bit more time doing some more research, because it might be maybe your target audience or your buyers are hard to get to. You know, they might not be readily available. There might not be a whole lot of information already out there. So we might have to spend more time getting qualitative data. But anything for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, okay, depending on the scope.
So the planning is it, even in our world, planning is a very important part of success. And so tell us what's next after we get our buying personas complete, mm-hmm, and we know who we want to market to, we know the message that we think will resonate. What's next?
Then it's a matter of taking all that, the clump of data that we have and the kind of the undefined collection of things, and we're turning that into actual phrases and sentences and words. Mm-hmm. And what we tend to do is we create inventories of phrasing and sentences that we can use. So for example, if we're have a heading of a particular pain point, maybe a target buyer is looking to do their accounting quicker and not spend hours on it, then under that heading, how can we phrase that pain point? And what kind of different sentences can we use? What emotional angle can we use in each sentence? And that can be as granular as writing out 10 different sentences, each mm-hmm, capturing a different emotion. And so we create an inventory in that sense of these different phrases we can use in language and words. And then after we've done that, we put that in front of people. So we partly put that in front of existing customers to kind of get a quick validation on, yes, that's actually how I feel or how I felt. And then obviously we want to put that in front of potential new business and potential new customers as well. And that can be done either via outbound direct outreach, or it can be done even in blog posts and articles or white papers. But it's important that you have an inventory of different language and phrases and words that you can use and test and see what are people resonating with. Because even if you write out 10 different sentences, for example, there might only be two or three of those that are really hitting home, mm-hmm, and really getting people to perk up and respond.
Yes, as we talked about, I think, in our last session, there are certain levels of awareness.
Yes, even, exactly.
You know, there's unaware, which we get a lot in our world, yeah, because we're reaching out sometimes with new product or new service. But that awareness level, there could be a problem awareness, there can be a solution awareness, there can be a product awareness. So you have to make sure that you hit those are three different messages.
Exactly.
You know, that you have to test and get out there and start essentially tracking the results.
Yeah, exactly. And what we usually find is that our process is very well defined, and we always tell people to trust the process, even though we might be in the midst of the research and they're wondering what on earth is going to come out of this.
Right.
But we always tell them, look, trust the process, because at the end of this, you'll start, or even before the end of it, in the middle of it all, you'll start seeing trends. You'll start seeing that, okay, these emails with this type of messaging is getting great opens and great responses, mm-hmm, then you take that and you amplify it. So it's always about keeping track of what's going on and being able to be quick on making changes. The way what people respond to 3 months ago is probably not what they will respond to tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Things change, people's perception changes. And so having a process where you're continuously testing and also being able to make changes quickly and being agile in how you operate, that's going to be key. And it's important to also have a process that allows for that, as opposed to being locked into this very rigid, very structured, very formal process, but instead having guiding principles. And I like to think of it as having heuristics as opposed to algorithms.
Okay.
And so if you think in terms of that, it's more about, okay, here's a room in which you can move in, and on Monday, you might want to be on the left side of the room, and on Thursday, you might want to be on the right side of the room, as opposed to here are the exact steps to take. Because when you're dealing with people, and that's the key, and that comes back to what I said early on before, when you're dealing with people, there's always, always an element of surprise, of unpredictability, mm-hmm, and there are a lot of variables that you just don't even know about and certainly can't control. And so making room for that in how you do your marketing and how you do your outbound and inbound is going to be key in terms of getting the results you want to get. Just know that you're always talking to a person on the other end. There's always a person who's opening up your email on their smartphone and who's reading it at maybe 7 a.m. in the morning, and they've just dropped off their kids before they come to work. And so how is that person going to respond to your message? What do they need to understand and believe about themselves and you in order for them to respond to what you're asking for, right? So always keeping in mind there's a person on the other end, and you have to account for humanity and the psychology of the people you're reaching out to, because that is what will make or break any campaign, any day.
So the word campaign has come up, and I think one of the misnomers, especially with my audience who has read Predictable Revenue, was under the assumption that one or two emails and that's it, you're done. What, tell us about the campaigns.
Yes. One or two emails and you're done only means that, you're done. Like, you're not going to get much beyond that. Quit today, pretty much. But and if you want to talk specifically about direct outbound campaigns and cold email campaigns, having more than two steps is going to be critical, because you'll often see responses on the second, maybe a second, probably the third or fourth email. And that's just accounting for the fact that if people receive your email on a Monday, they might be walking into a meeting and they have no time to look at your email. And then after that meeting, they're getting other requests from other people and there's things to do. And they might have thought to themselves when they got your first email, this sounds pretty good, actually. I'll deal with it later. Well, that later never comes. People forget, things happen, things come up, you just never know. And so if you only had one email, then that's it. You're not going to hear from them. But if you had a second or third email or a fourth or fifth email, and these are just touch points, then you're increasing your chances of getting in front of them again, connecting with them again, and being able to get the response when it fits them and for them to feel like, yes, today is a great day for me to deal with this. I have some time. So you can't just do a one-off campaign. This is a process that you have to have in place that runs continuously. So if you have, let's say, a direct outbound campaign or process, we want to call it, that consists of, let's say, five or six emails, then you let that run its course to a list, and then you let that list rest for a bit, and then you go back and recycle that campaign into the same list. So leaving it up to chance and leaving it up to a one-hit wonder or anything like that will never work out well. It is always important that to understand that your emails reach people at different times, and they may not be ready, they may not be aware enough, or they may just not have time to deal with it when they see it. And so by stringing out touch points throughout a period of time, that is how you increase your chances of actually getting a response. Okay. And you can say the same thing for inbound and different types of other campaigns too. It's staying top of mind is the usual phrase people use. But following a process where you're not just doing marketing for a while and then you do nothing for a while, because then you'll end up in a feast or famine roller coaster cycle there, where you have a lot of new business coming in, then nothing for a while, and then a lot of new business coming in, then nothing. So having consistency in what you do and how you do it, that's going to be the key for getting long-term results.
And it sounds like your firm does address the multiple streams that come in from a lead generation. My heart is always with the outbound side of life. Hence, I slant most of my conversations to that.
Sure.
But we do have the influx of inbound leads. I know you work with landing pages and all of those other forms of lead generation that all come into the funnel.
Yeah, and I think that's the way I see it, is just you're stacking your odds and you're layering how many different streams of leads you can have, and even how you deal with them when they come in, right? You can have a high touch campaign where you have phone calls and meetings, or you can have a low touch campaigns where there's just emails that go out. And if, for example, you have a SaaS and you have they're during an onboarding phase, and you can either have a high touch there too, and or a low touch, depending on how much resource you have available to yourself and to your company, or how valuable that lead might be to you. So the way I look at it is, as long as you have the foundation right, in which you have the messaging, you have the right message to the right person at the right time, you understand the psychographics of who they are, and if you have a really strong offer of whatever it might be for the next step in a sales process, if you have a hook and a promise to that, then you can layer the channels on top of it. So you can reuse that same hook, promise, and an offer, and use that through your outbound. You can use it in your inbound, and that could be either through a webinar or articles or white papers or whatever it might be. But as long as you have the foundation right, as long as you have the core right, then all you're doing when you're adding more channels and more campaigns on top of it is you're stacking the odds and you're layering the different avenues you have, which should open up new streams of leads. So it's a quick way of doing growth, which is, you know, people have this perception that you can grow overnight, which is never true. But if you can stack and layer your mm-hmm. channels and your campaigns on top of each other, then those are incremental changes, right?
Right.
So if you can have 15% in one, in terms of conversions, maybe in one campaign, 8% in another, 3% in a different campaign, 20% in another campaign, then all those small percentages are going to add up. And that's how you get to double or triple growth. It's you stack those right. campaigns on top of each other.
So let me reiterate that for our audience, that yeah. first and foremost, before you decide how you're going to reach out to your prospective clients, you've got to fundamentally know why they should change,
yeah.
why change now, and why choose you. Mm-hmm. And as Sam was saying, you have to get down to the core essence of the why.
Yes.
Regardless of product, feature. There are features that translate, but it's the ultimate benefit that they're going to get.
Yeah.
Once that is figured out with Sam's guidance and his team, then they work with you to figure out, okay, what are the different streams, or what we call channels? What are mm-hmm. the different channels we should send these messages through?
Yeah.
And as he was saying, when you layer or overlay multiple channels on top of a really good core yeah. message system, that in aggregate is going to give you that double and triple growth.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, people, so we cannot take shortcuts here.
Yeah, exactly. And I really want to stress that too. A lot, and this is another misconception, right? People think that, okay, one or two channels and one or two outreach or inbound mechanisms are enough to double, say, lead quantity or mm-hmm. even double or triple, anything like that. And that's simply not true. That's not reality.
Right.
Reality is always that you will have some channels that outperform others. There will be some messaging that's going to be stronger than others. But if you can stack them on top of each other, that's how you can double or triple your growth in leads and sales.
It's like a symphony where you have all the different parts of the symphony, all the different yeah. Percussion instruments, you have the wind instruments, and they all work together to produce this amazing result.
Exactly. That's it.
So let's talk now about the typical engagement. Who would be a good candidate for your service, and how long can they expect to be working before they, you know, start activating? Because Assemble, which yeah. is a planning process, is really a joint partnership in that you're relying on the client to get you the information, because you don't know their product necessarily. You may have some experience, but you don't know their uniqueness.
Yeah.
So they have to work with you to get that piece done. But let's pretend that that is a certain timeline. You said anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 months.
Yeah.
What about activation? What can they look for activation of that?
Yeah. And actually, I want to take one quick step back and say, okay. During this assembly process, we do also, you know, before we start an engagement, we do look for a couple areas so we can get our clients quick wins early on.
Oh, okay.
So even though we do have, which is a critical part, which is that whole gathering data and understanding people and understanding products, mm-hmm. we do make sure that, okay, what are some of the quick wins that we can implement right away that will make a huge difference?
That's nice, like a fast track.
Exactly, right? So we have those two things going on at the same time. And one of the most, and it's, I don't know why we still see this, but one of the most common places and areas where you can get a quick win is to simply implement resurrection campaign is what I call it. It's like a reactivation campaign.
Like we call it dead accounts.
Yeah, dead accounts. Or even right. like even leads that have gone cold. And you can apply this to different parts of the life cycle of a customer of yours. Mm-hmm. You can apply a resurrection campaign to leads that have gone cold, to leads that are sales qualified leads, but they maybe haven't responded to, like, say, a proposal or something else. Mm-hmm. And you can also apply a resurrection campaign to past customers. You know, is there a reason why they should buy from you again? Probably.
Right.
And it's easier and it's more profitable and easy to get a past customer to buy from you again than it is to chase after a new customer.
Sure.
So what we love to do, and we always find this to be true, or for the most part with our clients, is they don't have those resurrection campaigns. Not because they don't want them, but they just usually don't even think about it. It's just not something that you usually consider and realize you can actually implement that really easily.
Right.
So we usually do one of those campaigns or a couple of those campaigns where it makes sense to do so, mm-hmm. and implement that really quickly. And that will usually plug any leaks that exist in your funnel and set you up for even greater results later on. So while that's happening, then we're also doing that assembly. We're gathering all the data and information that we need.
Plus, and you're getting validation from that other campaign, the resurrection campaign, to help you with the languaging, I would think.
Exactly. That's right. Awesome. So it all feeds into each other. It's like this little ecosystem that just talks, it just feeds into each other. So it's a great way to get feedback. And once we've done that, then we activate whatever the campaign is. We usually look at activation to the kind of high intense period of activation where we're testing a lot of messaging. We're testing numerous different languages and words, and we're mm-hmm. testing channels, and we're testing formatting. That process can take anything from 1 to 3 months, depending on the scope of your funnel, depending on what part of the funnel, and also and especially depending on what we're seeing in terms of feedback for the first month or two. Because sometimes we can hit on a really great campaign and a really great messaging really quickly, and that will make a huge difference. And so what we do is that, okay, we focus on that and amplify that result. Right. However, what is most common is that for the first month or so, you'll have some good results in one campaign, some decent results in a different campaign, and you have to do a lot of analyzing the data in terms of, okay, what's actually going on here? What are the factors that are contributing to this growth, the kind of trickle that we're seeing? Mm-hmm. And then what can we do to amplify that and turn that from, let's say, an 8% conversion to a 20 or 30% conversion in terms of response or anything else? So it is very important that in the first month or two of that activation that we review the data. We make changes on a weekly basis. Sometimes you have to be really quick on what you change, because you might launch a couple of campaigns with messaging that you think is going to work, but then the results aren't where you want them to be. And you need to be able to, okay, let's change how we do this and let's make that change fast, as opposed to running something into the ground that's not working, right? So agility is really, really critical when it comes to your marketing and sales, being able to change, being able to make adjustments to what the feedback you're getting is. And so you're looking at a couple of months there.
Which goes back to the preparation of the multiple ways to language something, so that you're basically going down the list and saying, okay, well, this didn't work. Now we're going to implement this one because it was the next in priority as being important.
Exactly.
That's great. And you calibrate as often as you need to.
As often as we need to. Okay. And that, on a granular level, what that looks like really depends on the client, the scope, and the funnel, and what we're doing. But mm-hmm. that activation process is early on a very intense period of a month or two, sometimes less, just depending on what we're getting. But once we have once we've learned enough about the messaging and the channels that we're getting, then from there on out, we can keep that running for however long someone wants to use it, right? So our typical engagement is anything from 3 to 6 months and beyond, just depending on how many funnels people want to work on, how many campaigns people want to launch, and how long they want to keep on going with it.
That's great. So as we're finishing up here, if I'm sure some people in the audience are thinking, wow, this is a lot of work, which it is.
But it's worthwhile.
It's definitely worthwhile. It's on the road to predictable revenue. It's on the road to generating double, triple growth consistently and repeatably. Yeah. But if we were to think about, step one, and you're out there buying into this concept, you think, boy, this is something I want to explore. What advice do you have in terms of taking the steps?
Yeah. So if your first step is, okay, I get it, this makes sense, I want to move forward in terms of just going down that path, mm-hmm. then the first thing you should do, unless you already have this, but even if you do have this, you should do this anyway, and that is to flesh out your buyer personas and what you know about your ideal target. Not just who your customers are now, but also flesh out, okay, what are they like before they buy from us? Because whatever a person is like when they bought from you is not always who they were before they bought from you. Mm-hmm. And so getting a deeper understanding of your ideal buyer personas or your target market, that's the first step. And it's not about understanding their age and if they have a dog or two or three or a house or a car. That's, you know, decent information. But what you're looking for are the psychographics, what they think, what they feel, what they know, what the beliefs they have, the suspicions they have, the fears they have. You want to really go down on a deep psychological level. You don't have to spend, you know, weeks and months doing this, because it's a rabbit hole in and of itself.
Yeah.
But if you can fill out a document that contains some of the core human emotions, right? You know, the type of person that these people are they more analytical, right? Then that's type of a person that will respond to different messaging. Or are they more creative in how they look at things? Or are they more strategic? You know, so just having an understanding of your target market, but also your customers are, and fleshing that out, that's going to go a long, long way, because that the messaging you can get from that will make a huge difference in what you're saying and what you're doing with the channels and with the campaigns that you put in place.
Yeah, and you know, really, people, it's very true still to this age, and that is people first look at things emotionally, and yeah, then they switch more to a logic to justify the decision that they want to buy. And exactly, it doesn't matter if it's B2B, business to business, or business to consumer. At some level, you've got to hit them emotionally. And it could be curiosity, mystique. You mentioned fear, greed. There's, you know, the typical human emotions.
Yeah.
Check them off your list to make sure, does this IT guy, is he analytical, but does he want a promotion out of the deal?
Right.
Or is it a marketing person who's very creative, but, you know, wants a bigger seat at the table with the big boys in sales? You know, so you have to really think it through to that level.
Yes, absolutely.
Regardless of your product.
Yeah. And it might seem like, okay, that you're going too far back, or that's too much work, or that's, you know, how's that going to result in bottom line increase? But that's understanding that is at least half the battle. Mm-hmm. It's usually probably 80% of getting to the results you want. Because when you're then putting together the copy and the landing pages and the campaigns, all of that will fall into place and can be put together really quickly when you have this bulk work already done.
Right.
So, you know, you might think of it as, wow, we're not getting anywhere. All we're doing is just getting information and looking and understanding and reviewing. But yes, that's exactly what you're doing. And that's exactly what you need to do, because then putting together campaigns will happen really quickly. Like, that's the easy part at that point.
Right.
And that's another misconception that I want to really quick mention, is that
people
think that the constraint is or are the campaigns that you have and the mechanisms of it. Mm. And that's not true. Those things can be done really easily, really quickly. The tech exists for it. The apps and the technology exists for that to happen really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The constraint is actually you understanding your buyers and your market better than they understand themselves and better than your competitors understand them.
There's a phrase I remember that once you understand that, the copy writes itself.
Yes.
And not to belittle what you and your team do, but
sure,
you know, it's certainly...
But it's true.
It's a hard thing to do, because we're so focused on why don't they get why this feature will help them. And it's not about that.
Exactly.
It really isn't. And so if we sit back and pretend that we're having coffee with the guy right across from us... You know, they're humans. At the end of the day, everybody's a human. And so there are some underlying needs, desires, wants, fears that we need to get to.
Yeah, exactly.
And then take it from there and then morph that into, this is the feature, this is the benefit, this is the deeper benefit, this is the desire. Well, thank you so much, Sam, for your time. How do people get a hold of you?
Sure. They can find me on Twitter at Hey Sam Woods, or you can go to my website, stimuli.com. That's where my agency is housing and resides.
Okay.
I also have a personal blog at samueljwoods.com. So either one of those two, you'll find me.
All right, great. Well, thank you again for your time. This has been great.
Thanks so much.